Hey, welcome back to the Purity Podcast. I'm Chris Archinall, and today we're diving into a conversation that I think is desperately needed in the recovery world. Because let's be honest, a lot of men aren't lacking information anymore. They've read the books, listened to the podcast, hopefully ours. They've installed filters, they've joined accountability groups, and yet many still find themselves trapped in the same cycles of secrecy, shame, isolation, and then relapse. So maybe the issue isn't just information. Maybe the deeper issue is disconnection. Today we're talking with Chandler Rogers from Relay. Relay is a platform built around the idea that recovery was never meant to happen alone. We're going to discuss why isolation keeps men stuck, why traditional accountability falls short, what genuine connection actually looks like, and how vulnerability with safe people can become part of real transformation. This isn't just a conversation about an app. It's a conversation about being known, about honesty, about community, and about why healing almost always happens in the context of connection. So wherever you're listening from today, we're glad you're here. Let's jump into the conversation with Chandler. Hey, welcome to the Purity Podcast. I am Chris Archinall. I'm your host, and I'm super excited to be here with Chandler Rogers. Chandler is the founder, co-founder, creator, the creator of creators of the Relay app. I'm just going to stop right there. Chandler, thanks for being on. Tell me about yourself and then tell me about the Relay app.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Super excited to be here. Yeah, Relay is an app that started about 5 years ago out of my own personal recovery journey. I was attending groups since I was 17 years old, maybe younger than most. Listening to this podcast, but I knew early on, growing up that pornography was something I didn't want in my life, but like many of us, I ended up there anyways and struggling to figure out how to get connection, how to get help, how to get support, and ultimately joined a group run by a therapist. And we met on Wednesday nights. It was great, learned a lot, but I realized like the other 6 days of the week when I wasn't in group, I reverted back to isolation, to being alone, to trying to do this solo. And I just had this feeling eventually that that wasn't going to work, that I needed to find a way to stay connected and stay accountable and really leverage the other brothers in my corner. And over a period of time, I ended up deciding to create the Relay app. It was kind of a spiritual impression. I just felt like with my background, I was in startups and tech at the time, very early in my career, and just felt like this was something I needed to do to make it easier to lower the barriers for guys who are in isolation. Maybe you have a group that you meet with for 12-step or Castamony or something else at your local church or whoever, but how do you stay connected 7 days a week when we've got, the enemies in our pockets, right? The temptation, the vice is, two clicks away. How do we leverage that same smartphone for good? And so, we created the app and been going ever since, 4 years now.
So you've been in groups since 17. That's, well, one, I'm sorry. And also thank you and congratulations.
For that.
I mean, that's a powerful message and story right there, just to say that you saw at the age of 17 that you needed to nip this in the bud. So proud of that. I know I sound like a dad right there, but I'm super proud of you for doing that. And to remind me of your partner's name in crime there.
Yeah, Jace. Jace is my co-founder. Yep.
And like, not to humble brag, but you guys were heading towards like some jobs at Apple and other places or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Jace was the one going to Apple. Mine was not so sexy, but yeah, we were both going in tech and, had pretty good job offers coming out of school and had kind of a point where we had been working on Relay on the side and it was this passion project, had maybe a few hundred people using the app at the time, but it was this question of like, do we really want to try to invest in this thing and grow it and make it available to more people? And I just like couldn't shake the feeling like we needed to do it. And so, yeah, remember I convinced him to email Apple and say, hey, sorry, I know that everyone probably wants to work here, but I'm actually not going to show up. And I did the same with my job and didn't regret it at all.
That's awesome. Oh, I hope he sent it from an Android phone. It said sent from my Android phone or something.
That's right.
That's super cool. Well, here's what was We met at a conference, and it's like sexual integrity conference. I don't remember. It was APSATS. I can't remember what APSATS stands for. If you can, I keep telling people, like, the sexual integrity conferences, they need some marketing help big time, because APSATS sounds like something you're trying to get rid of because of sexual unintegrity. No integrity in your sexual life. So it just sounds like a disease. Anyway, sorry, APSATS people. I'm sure I know you're wonderful, because. Anyway, that's terrible. I'll stop that. Maybe Mike can edit that out, but he probably won't, because it's kind of funny. Anyway, but we met at this conference, and we were talking about this. And I think what really was interesting to me about having you on this program and on our podcast is the fact that a lot of the guys who listen to the Purity podcast aren't in the Houston area or aren't in areas where they have a Castamonia meeting. Some of the guys that I've talked to don't even have SA meetings or SAA meetings, right, in those areas. And so, I mean, even on my, like, I facilitate calls for Castamonia on Tuesdays at 7 a.m. and Friday at noon. I guess that's a little like advertisement there. But anyway, you should check those out. And I have guys that call in from California, New York, West Virginia, India, not India yet, Indiana. Did I say West Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Colorado area? Anyway, like, all over the place. And I'm sure in some of those places they have SA or SAA meetings. At the same time, some of those guys are in positions that they can't really go in. Maybe in their community, they can't go to those types of meetings because they're, even though they're confidential, because of their positions, they may not feel like they can go to those places, just simply for being seen there. So tell me, like, this seems like that when I heard what y'all are doing, this is just like what struck a chord with me, is like, this seems like the perfect app for somebody like that, but it also seems perfect for any age group. So talk to me about kind of what the age group is and why it's a fit for the person I just described.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, just going back to my story, I started being more open with people that I knew and, sharing my story. And, I was expecting more guys to be like, me too. And, here's how I got help. But it was usually me too. And I still haven't gotten much help because I'm scared, whether it's signing up for therapy or going to that SA meeting or anything else. It's like the amount of courage it takes to get to that spot, if you're listening to this, that it's scary. And I think that there's actually a lot more men out there that are struggling with this and want to change. They want help, they want support, they're actually open to it. But this barrier of like, my only option is to go somewhere in person or even like to show my face on a Zoom can be scary, right? Depending on my position or just how you're feeling. Like it makes a ton of sense. And so yeah, the nice thing about Relay early on, we were like, what if you could stay pretty anonymous but still have a real group? Like it actually matches you with 8 or 10 other guys. You asked about age. We see guys of all ages signing up, and we put guys who are older together, we put guys who are younger together, guys who are married together, guys who are single together. If you're Christian, we've got Christian groups. If you're not, you don't have to join a faith-based group. So what we've kind of tried to do is make it easy to allow you to get paired with, 8 or 10 other guys that are in your situation or in a similar kind of boat and lower the barrier where it's not as scary. It doesn't take as big of a jump. But I'm still a huge advocate for like, once you start moving in that direction, finding people in your real life to open up to, finding spaces where you can have that face-to-face connection, I think is incredibly important and healing. I think we just have to like, if you think about a ladder, if you want to get to the top of the ladder, you've got to start on the bottom rungs and move your way up one by one. And I think for, any of us that like, how do we help make this less of a problem for the next generation? We probably can't take down the whole porn industry as much as, we might want to do that or destroy all, temptation. What we can do is try to make it easier for other guys that are in our circles that may be struggling but are too scared to speak up. Create new avenues, right? That make it easier to take the first step.
When you said talking about you pair people, pair guys together, non-Christian, Christian, faith-based, whatever, age group and all that, how do you vet that? How do you know, like, someone's not catfishing you a little bit or something like that? Like, what are you doing to vet that type of person that comes on and maybe just looking for someone to, catfish per se? I mean, maybe that's not the right term.
Yeah, I mean, early on, the app was free, and we saw some people that had heard about this on Twitter came in and wanted to troll in the community, and we quickly learned our lesson that, we've got to create the right guide rails and detection systems to make sure that that doesn't happen, right? It's got to be a safe space. And you see things like this on Facebook and Reddit, like, no community is perfect, but this is where we've actually leveraged, technology is a blessing where we can detect, right? If somebody, for example, like you can't send inappropriate content through Relay because our system will detect it and intervene before it is ever sent. And that is like foolproof, essentially. Or if you, right, if there starts to be, unhelpful or just kind of in groups, some guys maybe need more help, like they are talking about self-harm or they're just dealing with heavy depression. What we found is like we need to be able to identify when somebody might need, more help, like a therapist or something else. And so that has been really important. And we've actually worked with a lot of the best CSAT therapists in the space to build out the Relay system, not just from a safety perspective, but from an effectiveness standpoint of, a lot of times it's like, we're all trying to be vulnerable. We're all trying to work on our recovery. And so, you can't always expect that the guy next to you has it all figured out when we're all kind of broken. We're dealing with this brokenness, but I think there's power in that, and you just need the right structure. You need the right support. And yeah, we've been fine-tuning that for years, and I think that's most people, I would say, they love, right, the ability to have daily connection to supplement, right? Maybe they're already going to groups, but when you're busy on your lunch break and you just need to check in for 10 minutes, the ability to have that again from your pocket, I think is really powerful.
Yeah, awesome. So this is not an accountability software, right? I mean, is it like a Covenant Eyes at all? I mean, is there any aspect of the Covenant Eyes, Big Brother thing?
Yeah, no, there's actually no like screen monitoring or internet filtering going on because, yeah, there's a lot of those things that exist. And if you use one of those, if that's helpful for you, then great. We've tried to create a set of tools that helps with the deeper recovery work, right? So we're not trying to prevent access, right? We're trying to help. There's a reason, if your brain keeps turning back to porn, it's been wired that way, but it doesn't have to stay that way. And we often say, like, you don't really have a porn problem, you have a pain problem. And this is just a way that as men we've learned to soothe, to medicate. I'm sure you've talked about this on the podcast before, like, the way to heal porn, right, usually is addressing these underlying issues, getting in touch with our emotions, learning how to grow and just become healthier men. And I think involving God in that process is critical. And so Relay's focus much more on helping support your daily recovery and the steps and the actions and the things that you're actually trying to do, not just monitoring you on the things that you don't want to do.
And by the way, if you have Covenant Eyes, you should probably keep it, right? And
Yeah, totally.
it's a
I've
great
got Yeah, I've
technology.
got it. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a great technology, and it's another rung to the ladder. I love that description. And it's I guess in a sense the difference of being monitored versus being known, right? Like this is a place where you can go and be known versus just be monitored.
Totally.
And the being monitored is a good thing. Let me ask you this, like when it comes to just how I get on there, like, some guys have their phones locked down where they can't add an app or anything like that. So let's start with that. I mean, my guess would be that it would start by going to your accountability partner or your wife or whoever has the access to add an app. And so we go and how do they, now that we've got access to the phone and we can go to the app store, what's the route to get there?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I know a lot of guys that have deleted everything else off their phone and Relay's like the only thing left. And they're like, this is great. It's helping me reorient my whole relationship with my phone. There is also, I'll mention, like some guys are like, I got rid of my smartphone or, try not to use it. There is a computer version right on your desktop or your laptop that you can use.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, we've had guys do that before, but whatever preference you have, however you're getting onto it. When you join, right, if you already have a group, like if you've already got guys that you are connected with, you can actually create your own like private group on Relay. So you can bring, people that you're already, in touch with. And for me, it's like, I was in groups and we just use normal group, text to stay connected, and that was fine. The main value in having, right, you sign up, maybe you've already got some people, is there's tools within Relay that are very specific to sexual addiction and to this type of, recovery work. And so, yeah, if you're looking for that, that's part of the value. But let's say you're somebody that does not have a group. Maybe you live somewhere that doesn't have a Castamonium meeting or a 12-step group, like any of that. It'll ask you a few questions, right? We're trying to understand, what's your relationship situation? How long have you been dealing with this? What's your goals, right? What are your hopes for this? Because I think so much of this, the early process is like dealing with shame, and helping. I think it's really important to understand, there is no silver bullet. Like, I'm not here to say, like, hey, this app is going to do it for you. No, it's not. But how do we help you get some orientation, get some structure, get some support? And so, yeah, if you don't have a group, it'll ask you some questions, and then within 10 minutes, it will match you with a group. And we've put a lot of time into, again, working with therapists to build out, like, all right, let's give you some tools every day that you can actually do. We're a big believer in, like, recovery happens by doing, not by just sitting and talking or thinking, although those things are important. And so, yeah, when you sign up, I mean, it gives you, like, a lot of steps to follow. So I think a lot of guys are looking for some guidance, but we're also letting you personalize this to you. So, like, let's say, Chris, you're tracking pornography and masturbation, and you also are prompted to kind of fill out these three circles, which those of you that go to SA or SAA would be familiar with the three circles exercise. So you're actually filling out, not just what is your sobriety, but also what are kind of these middle circle boundaries, right? Maybe I want to get to bed before midnight. What if I, maybe want to stay off social media, or I need to, watch out for maybe conflict with my wife is kind of like a red flag for me. And then there's self-care, right? So it's actually having you track and set up for you personally. Like, I'm trying to get 20 minutes of exercise every day. I'm trying to read the Bible for 10 minutes a day. I'm trying to pray twice a day. Whatever it is, you've kind of got this, like, configured recovery plan. It's there in the app for you, and then every day you're checking in, and then you've got the group that's kind of integrated to that. So you're doing your own check-ins, but the group can see that. So, like, if you're in my group, Chris, you can actually sign off on my check-in and give me some encouragement and say, oh, hey, man, it looks like you've missed your exercise and you're journaling for a few days in a row. I know you've brought up that that's kind of like a early warning sign for you. Just want to, like, see if I can support. And so we found it's trying to move upstream, where it's not just like, hey, I show up to group and it's like, hey, guys, sorry, I had a relapse, right? Instead, it's more proactive, every day. Really trying to focus less on the porn, less on the sexual acting out, and more on how do we build these healthy routines in spiritual health, physical health, mental health, all the things, right? So it's
I
like
love it.
the cool
It's
thing is
not
really,
a.
like, you can set it up for you. Like, it's
Yes.
personalized to you. And then over time, like, we're doing some cool things with data. If you're a data nerd, listening to this, we're trying to help you, start to get patterns, right? And learn, like, oh, Friday nights, when you're feeling bored and stressed and resentful, those things tend to be your cocktail that make you more vulnerable. Let's kind of create a plan to regulate those things or to get ahead of those things. So, trying to help make recovery even more empowering, I would say, is a big part of it.
Yeah. Awesome. So, let's say I'm a guy who's in a remote spot or not, and I'm just struggling silently, and this sounds cool, but I'm not coming in with a group. How do you, I know you said earlier that you connect people, but how do you do that connection? How do you make that connection?
Oh, it literally, like, the sign up process literally just asks you a few questions and then says, all right, you ready to join a group? And if you are ready to join a group, then it matches you with the group. So it's really
Oh,
that simple.
perfect.
Like, it literally walks you through it step by step. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to email anybody. Like, it's all self-sufficient. So,
So walk me through that a little bit, because like I think there's some value, like if you have your group that it's kind of quote unquote locked a little bit, right? That you can now it's a little bit easier to be more vulnerable or whatever. But what's been the feedback? Like what's been maybe something that somebody's like, hey, I was kind of surprised by this in Relay that I was, kind of came in cautious and I was surprised by X. What is X?
I mean, I think a lot of the things we've heard, like, we've had over 10,000 guys come in and use the groups and Relay over the last few years. And probably the biggest thing is just they're surprised that it's, like, literally just real humans behind it. That, you go to Reddit and it feels so impersonal, and it's, like, almost too anonymous. Like, I can't be seen. I love that you brought up seen and known. Like, I want to be seen and known. That is so core for the healing process of recovery. And I think what people are surprised about is like it's still a group of humans, so it's not like we can guarantee that somebody's going to respond if you put up a red flag and you're struggling, that these people are not paid like a therapist to like respond to you. But we try to curate the dynamics and the structure of it where it just makes it 10 times easier to actually have an effective support system. And it's not just your wife and it's not just your therapist. And it, can complement, maybe the in-person groups that you might have. And again, if you don't have that, then it's great, So I think most people are surprised when they find like, man, there's a surprising amount of that we get complimented a lot that there's like a big human element to it. Like we will do these webinars that again, they're anonymous. You can join. We do them 3 times a week where we give an orientation and we welcome you and we make it feel like, you're a part of the community. Like, 'cause this is about connection. Connection's the opposite of addiction. And we put a lot of love into that 'cause it's personal. This is my journey and I believe so strongly in connection. And so most people are like, man, I've never had an app, text me from the customer support number. It's like, yeah, we do that 'cause we care. But also just that there's, a strong focus on community and also I think anyone that's gone to therapy and has worked with the CSAT will find like we've really tried to put a lot of like the best tools that are out there, like all in one place. So, and I don't want this, like, this is not about really, for me, I don't like talking about myself and my story because I don't feel like I have that much unique to offer. And this isn't really about Relay, but I think it is about, again, this theme of for so many of us, we've tried 1,000 times to overcome this thing. We've tried almost every way, shape, and form. And it feels so debilitating, so discouraging when it's like, why does nothing work for me? And again, the answer is there's no silver bullet. But if you're still stuck, it's because there must be something else that is missing. And I view that as a message of hope, where it's like, we still just got to get deeper and we got to find that. And be open to experimenting because, yeah, if we just put so much, of our stock into like this is the last time, that shame just builds up. The sadness, the discouragement builds up, and so we're trying to just help. How do we break down those walls and make it like, yes, we all want to quit our unhelpful, unhealthy behavior, but man, it's so much more freeing to look at this. Like, I think we all really want to just be better men, healthier husbands, fathers, disciples, like. That's what this is about.
If there's a guy who has tried Relay and probably has tried everything, why would they not resubscribe? Or what's the reason behind it? Not, and it's most, what I'm getting at is most likely not have anything to do with the app, but what is it about that guy that causes them to be like, peace out, I'm not going to be able to do this?
If it doesn't work for them. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of times about expectations, right? It's like I'm hoping that a group will fix me. I'm hoping that they are going to be at my disposal, that they're going to respond to me very quickly. Something I also talk a lot about is especially in any group environment, if you're showing up with the expectation, even if it's subconscious, and we all probably have this where it's like, I really desperately want to be seen. I really desperately want to be known. I want to like feel like somebody can get me and help me. It's a very inward, selfish mindset. I'm not saying those needs are bad or ill-placed, but there's something powerful when you almost flip the expectation and say, I'm going to try to attune to the other guys in this group, even if I'm still feeling broken. The more that we turn outwards, and this is the 12th step, the more that we turn outwards, the easier it is often for our own recovery. The more that we can focus on how to connect, to support, to lean in and help others. And so I think, for guys where they come in with the wrong mindset, like anything, right? What you get in is what you're going to get out. But
I was thinking when I asked that question, I probably was kind of one of those things where I had my thought about why. And I think it's like a lot of groups that guys go to is it's about vulnerability. That's the secret ingredient to me is when you join a group is whether or not you're coming in willing to be vulnerable. And I see guys that bounce around from group to group or bounce from coming to Castamonia and not being at Castamonia for a long time and coming back or coming to Castamonia but not really having a lot of great sobriety or even recovery or even sobriety. It typically comes down to that one kind of thing about connection, and connection requires vulnerability. It's hard to connect with other men if you're not going to be vulnerable. And one of the things I like about the app so much is you're doing it with human interaction, but you're also doing it through technology in a sense that you're still human, but there's not this person that's sitting right across from you, which makes it sometimes a little bit more difficult to be vulnerable. You know, it's
Vulnerable.
almost like the opposite of how people, you know, haters on social media. It's easy to hate when you're just typing it into, an email or a whatever, I mean, tweet or whatever you want to call it. I'm not on any social media, so I don't even know what to call that crap anymore. But anyway, all that stuff, you know, it's easy to hate when you're not associating it with any human per se. And in this situation, you could flip the coin and say, yeah, but it's also possible to be a little bit more vulnerable and transparent when you're in this situation where you know it's another human on the other side, but you don't have this sense of I've got to be vulnerable, so vulnerable right here in front of another person. Now,
It
I
helps warm
think
up.
there's still value in doing that, by the way. I think there's the, but again, it's that rung you were talking about on the ladder. Let's get to that first or second or third step, whatever this would be for that person, and let's let them see, oh, wow, I just told Chandler all my junk and he didn't hang up. You know, he didn't leave the app. He's there and he's for me and he's checking in on me, right? And all of a sudden that starts to build trust with Chandler. And now I'm starting to think, well, maybe there's a Chandler in my town, in my community that I could start to connect with in a new way. Anyway, any thoughts on that before I ask you the next question?
No, totally. I think that's very well said. I think vulnerability is like a muscle. And for many of us, especially men, I think we didn't have a lot of help flexing that muscle growing up or having an environment where we knew what that looks like. And so, yeah, I think it's just about giving different options and different ways to try to practice that vulnerability and get more comfortable with that.
I've heard that pornography is a bad solution to a different problem, you know, to other problems, right? So, do you think that men are more addicted to pornography or addicted to the kind of emotional escape? And then that porn is just the preferred anesthetic. Like what's your thinking there?
I mean, I think I'm not a neuroscientist nor a credentialed clinician. I think what we understand about the research is that the brain is wired to seek pleasure and to avoid pain. And when most of us were exposed to porn, it was during our early teenage years, or kind of, call it between 8 to 16, somewhere in that range probably. And our brain was still developing, and our brain learned, like, hey, this feels really good. And it was often associated, right, with some other context, feeling lonely, feeling overlooked, not seen, not cared for. Like, we all come from imperfect family systems. Like, even if you had a great mom and dad, if you weren't abused, if they weren't divorced, right, I bet that there was still some tiny way that you didn't learn how to get all your needs met, your emotional needs met perfectly, because that's called being human, and we're all in this fallen world. And I've learned a lot from some of the greatest, like, therapist voices in this space, where, the way I see it, the way I've come to understand it, is that genuinely, like, most addictions that we think about, including porn, are really solutions to a problem, but then the solutions became the problem. And, we're just seeking for ways to get our needs met. And it might feel like, well, my need is sex, and my wife doesn't want to have as much sex with me as I want. And, it's just horniness. There's no deeper pain. It's not that deep, bro. It's like, okay, maybe. Again, I'm not here to diagnose you, but I think that, beneath, all of us, like, as human beings, we are wired to have healthy relationships, to be known. Like, intimacy is more than sex. And I think this is, like, a lot of therapists call this an intimacy disorder or relational issue, because it's not just a behavioral problem. It connects deeply to our desire to be in healthy relationship. And we're talking about our sex, and sexuality is designed to be in connective, healthy relationship. And that's, I think, how God designed it. That's my belief. And I think, anyways, yeah, not to get too deep with it, I think that obviously there's a lot of addictive characteristics to this, and I think the porn industry is only going to get worse with AI, and just as tech continues to evolve, Like, certainly it's, just messed up the dopamine system of the brain for so many young men and young women, and it's probably going to get worse. And I think whether your problem is porn or gambling or alcohol or food or whatever, I think we all, like, the real opportunity is we all need to learn how to meet our needs in healthier ways without behaviors that don't align with our integrity.
Wow. Really well said. So, I think a lot of guys listening to this podcast, maybe not a lot of guys, but I think some of the guys listening to this podcast are exhausted, probably ashamed. And they're probably wondering what I thought for years. Will I ever change? Right? Like, do I even have, is it even possible for me to change? And because of that, I think that a lot of guys, and to kind of shout out my own transformational matrix, right? My transformational recovery matrix is they feel trapped, right? And so they're isolating. And so in isolation, you just find yourself spiraling to me. I mean, I just found myself spiraling when I was trapped. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to turn to. And I felt shame, a ton of shame. I knew I was wrong. All these things were going on. And yet there may be a guy who has said, I've joined the groups before. I've tried apps before. Nothing sticks. You hit on this a little bit earlier. I want you to, I hate the phrase, but I want you to double click on that. Like, hit on that a little harder because I want you to really show what like Relay is offering these men's in the form of community and how it's di potentially different than other groups.
Yeah. I mean, we get guys all the time who have been to other groups, been to SA groups. I'm a believer that there is good things to pull from in a lot of corners of this world, in a lot of corners of the recovery space. My goal has been kind of as somebody that's been in the startup world, that I think in terms of entrepreneurship and innovation. I think that the way we do recovery in, 2026, when we're recording this podcast right now, it needs to evolve in how we do recovery 10 years from now and 20 years from now. It should get better. The ways that we learn how to navigate this process should improve, should become more efficient. Like, there's research happening. There are, experts that, are working with people behind closed doors, and they're probably seeing patterns and learning things. And there's all these different things, all these different pockets. And so I think it can be discouraging when you're in your own journey, in your own world, and it's like, man, but I just feel more broken, than maybe this stuff works for somebody else, but can it really work for me? Like, that's the common thing I hear all the time. Like, I am just, I feel numb. I feel, I believe conceptually or logically, like, I haven't tried everything, and so maybe there's help for me, but how I feel in my body is like just defeated. And I want to empathize with that, because, man, I relate to that a ton. And I think the important thing is you're not alone in that. I think most guys, especially, before they have any sort of breakthrough or they make any sort of progress, I guarantee almost every guy felt the same way. They felt like they had already done everything. They had already exhausted all possible hope. And so I think it's important to just recognize, like, the lies from the truth. Like, you have never exhausted all hope. You are never too broken to,
Amen.
like, literally, God's grace is infinite. The brain that you have been given is still, at whatever age, I don't care if you're 82 or 22 or anywhere in between, like, your brain is capable of rewiring. It's learned a pathway. It can unlearn it. That is, like, literally how the brain works. It's beautiful. And so I think it's just kind of remembering that, believing that, having people to help echo that in your corner. So yeah, I'd say, my message is generally like, just don't give up. Just keep going. Keep your head
So
up.
good. So good. Yeah, Mark Dennison, love Mark Dennison. I shout out to him all the time, but I love one of the things he says, the best group, the best group is the one you'll go to, right? So like the best accountability and the best software or group or whatever it is the one you'll leverage and use. One of the things I'm kind of curious about myself is so I joined this group and it might feel a little bit like, the things that got me to where I was, I'm not sure I had the mindset to think differently. So now I'm in a group with a bunch of guys that are in that same mindset, doing the same things, and we're just trying to do the kind of quote unquote next right thing. Are these groups more of a form like of accountability, or is there like you may have said this earlier, but is there kind of a curriculum or something, or is there somebody on the in the group that's kind of directing, so it's not the blind leading the blind per se, or what's kind of tell me walk me through that kind of part of the group.
So one thing, we don't put like a paid facilitator or like a therapist in every group, because we actually believe a lot of the AA model that has worked is peer based. And so we actually do try to put groups together that have guys that are further along, right? And so the problem with traditional sponsor models, in my opinion, is that it's a supply and demand issue. You never have enough supply of sponsors, and you're always going to have way more demand for people who need sponsors. And so we don't have that either. You get matched in these 8 to 10 person groups. There is a curriculum that we've made together with CSAT therapists. So it's kind of like a clinical curriculum that helps you kind of understand, some shared vocabulary, some shared skills. And it gives you some structure, some things to work on. And so it's hard to describe, honestly. Like, I think the thing most people say is like, oh wow, Relay is just like different, and like I couldn't have even imagined how it works. Like, I'm not trying to say it's the most crazy innovative thing out there, but it is kind of like, it's not like there's a facilitator telling you what to do. It's still like this is a personal journey, but we're creating scaffolding. And if you even think about like going bowling, we've tried to put these bumpers up to try to, make it clear, right? This is kind of the way that we're all walking together, a shared playbook, if you will. And so it's all, I think it's important to note, like, it's asynchronous, meaning you can open your phone and it's a private group chat, and it's got, content and tools and tracking and data and all these things to help you. But then a lot of the guys are still meeting with a therapist once a week, and they're also attending meetings on Zoom or in person. And so again, it's like this is just one tool, right? But we're like trying to help you build a toolkit. And I think where Relay fits in for people is it becomes kind of their day-to-day operating system for recovery, because it is kind of that central point that everything else can feed into.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Man, I don't, we probably ought to land the plane here a little bit, but I always like to ask if there's anything I didn't ask you that you wanted to answer. Is there a question that you love to answer or something about Relay that I didn't ask that you wished I would have asked?
Well, I might have touched on this a little bit, but a question that I love is like, what is the real end goal with all of this? Like, what is the real purpose? Like, why does any of this really matter? And in many ways, this is like what we start off with in recovery, is figuring out our why. Why do I want to be sober? Why do I want to be healthy? I know it can be hard to even envision a life beyond the brokenness, or a life where I'm really not, relying on porn at all. Like, it almost feels impossible, but it feels scary or just uncertain or just even hard to really believe. And I think, again, coming back to this idea that this isn't really just a behavior problem. Like, the real opportunity, the real goal, I think, is we're trying to learn how to build healthy connection with ourselves, with God, with others, with our wives. And not just in a romantic relationship, but all those dimensions of connection. And what that means is like we're developing. Like, it's so much more than just trying to like take an axe and cut out this part of our lives. Instead, we're trying to like almost outgrow. Drew Boa has a great book called Outgrow Porn. I just love that like framing. It's not just to leave porn behind or leave the, sexual compulsive behavior behind. It's really we're like moving towards this idea of becoming. And it can feel hard to, it can feel fluffy, it can feel hard to believe when you're in the darkness, when you're in the brokenness. But I love just touching on that point, because it's so important to really, I think, anchor us on, we're not just trying to get to 90 days clean, right? We're not just trying to get to like some arbitrary milestone of, abstinence. We're trying to become something. And I think for me, that is, it takes away all the shame, and it just adds so much motivation.
I need to come up with a way to say it because and you said it very well, but like I encourage guys all the time, like we want to become the men who have stopped being the guy who doesn't want to do it anymore and has now become the man who wants to be more like Christ today. And
Okay.
it's like it's not that I'm trying to stop. It's that I've stopped and now I'm becoming more like Christ. So that becoming is such a powerful word there. Just I'm not a tattoo guy, but I've been thinking about all these words that are, I was, you know, relentless pursuit is kind of my thing. And then I've been talking to a guy recently about surrender and then the becoming. I could just see a list of words on my forearm now that could be really cool tattoos that would just be good reminders of what this is all about. But man, thanks for that. I don't know if you know what I do at the end of my podcast when I interview people, but one of the last questions I ask, or the last question I ask, is has nothing to do with recovery, unless it does, but typically doesn't. Is I love to tell stories, and I'm kind of a storyteller, and I love a good story. So, Chandler, if you're at a dinner party with your wife, or you're out with some friends, and maybe some new friends, and they haven't heard the story, you know, you've got this one. I mean, just I've got, you ask me, I've got probably 10 stories that I just absolutely love to tell. And my wife loves for me to tell about eight of them because two of them involve her and I wouldn't tell them unless I had her permission. But do you have like a go-to story that's, it could be funny, it could be touching and meaningful, whatever. Like what's your go-to story? Are you trying to draw tears or laugh? What's the go-to story?
Oh man, this is a tough question. Maybe I'll tell you a recent story that any parent could probably laugh at. I've got a 2-year-old boy and then a 2-month-old boy, and so we are deep in the throes of early parenthood and raising a young
Yes.
family and not sleeping a lot. And this isn't necessarily like a defining story of my life, but this is a recent one that I just think kind of captures a lot of like my life and my work, you know, that we're talking about with Relay, but also just the dynamics in our family. I'm in the bathroom just getting ready in the morning. I think, you know, just getting dressed or brushing my teeth, and you know, my wife was also just in there, and then our son walks in, and we're just like kind of at the sink. And he is just like walking around, and I was telling Jade, my wife, about something to do with Relay, or maybe it was a podcast I've been on, but I said the word porn, and all of a sudden my 2-year-old goes, "Porn, porn, porn," and he starts walking around, and I'm like, "Oh great, what have I done? What have I done?" You know, I'm like, it, but we just busted up laughing, and just like,
Yes,
you know, he's
that's
just walking around as
fantastic.
like a little parrot,
Oh
and
gosh, that's fantastic.
yep,
That's
he
awesome.
likes to sometimes I'm facilitating meetings on Zoom with other guys, and he'll come up and I have to explain to him what I'm doing. And the best way I found to explain to him is we're helping the boys feel better. Like we're helping the boys feel better today. That's a story about my 2-year-old son.
It's fantastic. Well, the next time I interview, I can't wait to hear where he said porn, where your favorite spot was that he said porn.
Yeah, if you
Porn.
want to help, you know, prevent you know, the next generation from falling in the trap, you just got to start the education early, I guess, is what they say.
Exactly. He's going to say it somewhere and they're going to be like, doesn't his dad have that app to help him
Yeah,
not
like
look at that?
the preschool is not going to be very happy.
No, they're not. They're not. That's fantastic. Chandler, thanks so much for joining me, man. I really appreciate you being on the podcast. How do people get a hold of you? Like, what's the best way for people to learn more about the Relay app?
Yeah, you can go to the website. It's just joinrelay.app. Joinrelay.app. And then our email's there. And I mentioned earlier, but if you email us, it goes directly to me. And we love to be in touch and support.
Throw that email out there real quick. What's the email? What's the
Yeah.
best way?
Yeah, it's hello@joinrelay.app.
Awesome. Awesome. Man, thanks for what you're doing for this community. I appreciate you. The cool thing, Chandler, is you've got a lot of years to be doing this and invested in a lot of men. And I am super excited for what's going on there. I mean, when you said the word or the number 10,000, I was like, holy cow, that's amazing. So thank you for investing in that. Thank you
Thanks,
for
Chris.
all that you're doing. Really appreciate you doing this. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks, man. Thanks,
All right, man.
everybody.
We'll see you soon. Guys, thanks for joining. I hope this conversation was an encouragement to you today. One of the things I appreciated most about Chandler's perspective is the reminder that recovery is not about simply managing behavior better. It's about learning how to live honestly and connected. Pornography, addiction, compulsive behavior, these things thrive in secrecy and isolation, but healing begins when a man steps into the light and allows himself to be fully known. That doesn't mean perfection. It doesn't mean instant transformation, but it does mean you stop fighting alone. Hey, if today's episode resonated with you, I'd encourage you to share it with someone else who may need hope right now. And if you'd like to learn more about Relay, you can check them out at joinrelay.app. That's joinrelay.app. As always, thank you for listening, thank you for supporting the podcast, and thank you for continuing to pursue honesty, healing, and freedom. Hey, and remember, as you go along this journey of recovery, you are not walking alone.